This is Vietnam in Burma. I'm Sen Nguyen. While most of the current new normal discourse has been about the economic recovery, resumed movement, and vaccine acceleration, little about the impact of the pandemic has on Vietnamese mental health has been discussed. Of course, the restoration of livelihoods, higher vaccination rates, and freedom of movement, among other things, would probably have a positive impact on mental health. But it might not be that simple. How have people managed or not? What can Vietnam, where there is social stigma against people with mental health issues, learn to deal with this going forward? We actually reached out to friends some time ago, and they sent in stories about how they have been noticing changes in their mental health in the last few months, either through being by themselves or through interactions with others.
Sometimes I felt anxious and cried. It got bad very fast. I've been up and down like a roller coaster. As a bar and restaurant manager, I'm a social, active, and determined person.
Started with a stage when I was just literally having no energy to do anything. But I know that I have to do something, but still I don't know what to do. And things get worse when I started to lose control towards my sleeping. I just couldn't sleep.
So when the lockdown began, I thought I was well prepared. I made the mistake of joining some chat rooms in the neighborhood that my friend invited me to. And then right at the beginning, I was astonished at the frequency and volume of the complaining. And it was not only complaining and criticism of the way the government was handling the pandemic that I could understand and much in agreement with. But there was so much misinformation and disinformation being thrown around, and there were a lot of quarreling, and I was not proud of myself that I joined quite a lot of the quarrels.
I decided to take care of my mind and my body as I used to do. I plan my day, give myself positive feedback for things I'm doing, video call with friends and colleagues, cook healthy food, do physical exercise regularly, spend quality time with my kitty.
I and my friend got in some serious disputes, and it made me more angry than I should be. There were days when I didn't do anything. I didn't work.
I hate the feeling of being left behind and do nothing. So from the beginning of this lockdown, I find as many as possible only courses, online events or training sessions which I think could be helpful for me and the team to participate, to keep ourselves busy and informative. I also talk to my trusted mentors or other friends who work in different fields or even strangers on social media to learn from their point of view. And I think as long as you can talk about your problems, that means you are aware of it and you are reminding yourself of finding the solutions, and one day the universe will hear you out.
Today on Vietnam and Burma, we're going to talk about the difficult stuff. We reach out to two Vietnamese psychologists who has been active in providing mental health support for different communities in Vietnam pre and during COVID, who can shed some light on this issue. Because this episode contains materials that may be upsetting to some audiences, your discretion is advised. Your mental health is important to us. Phan Tường Yên is manager of training and project development at Saigon PsychUp, a professional psychological service in Vietnam. When we spoke with her, she and her colleagues were providing consultation services and training programs for employees at factories, companies, and medical workers.
I can say that in recent years, corporations and multinational companies in Vietnam have started using these special psychological services for their employees, since they understand the need of mental health support, as well as the work-life balance for employee commitment and growth. I have to admit that because this service is still quite new in Vietnam. And the most powerful point is this service can help to reduce the employee turnover rate. And this has been proven in numerous international studies and surveys. In the context of the uncertain pandemic, employees have to face major changes in their work environments. For example, like there was a lot of reschedule. They had to face many miscommunications while working, mostly through tools and applications. Most of employees have to temporarily put aside their entertainment habits. And there even are groups of employees who are isolated for a long time at the office or the factory and so on. So these constraints can easily escalate it and increase the risk of stress, burnout, productivity decrease, and low job satisfaction.
But the reality is that not everyone had the same access to or financial resources for mental health support, according to Lei Chen Huang Zi. He's a lecturer of psychology at Hoa Sen University in Ho Chi Minh City and a counselor at several psychological consultancies in Vietnam.
Because at the moment, the service prices for mental health support, like the service fee, it is still high compared to the average incomes of the people. So I would say Vietnamese people still have access to mental health support, even if they have to pay for it. So right now, mental health support is not necessarily paid or covered by insurance. But even when people have to pay for that, some people, they can still do that, but not everyone, especially like the most vulnerable people, like people with low income, people with people from the remote areas, something like that. And the price and the price of the service, it is still very high compared to their average income. So I would say, maybe we need more systematic solution for this, because at the moment, from my experience, mental health service providers in Vietnam, especially the private organizations, they are trying their best to offer some services that are cheap, that are accessible, that are good enough for everyone, with not too high fee. But it is still high for people with low incomes.
During our hours-long conversations with psychologists Ian and Zui, they mentioned the word stressed quite a lot. And there is a reason why professionals like them want us to pay attention to this, because we might not fully understand the effects it has on our well-being. Stressful circumstances making people feel worried, anxious, and unable to cope are damaging to health and may result in premature death, according to the World Health Organization. In emergencies, our hormones and nervous system prepare us to deal with an immediate physical threat by triggering the fight or flight response, raising the heart rate, mobilizing stored energy, diverting blood to muscles, and increasing alertness. What is key is that turning on the stress response diverts energy and resources away from many physiological processes that are important to our long-term health maintenance. Both the cardiovascular and immune system are affected. For brief periods, this doesn't matter. But if people feel tense too often or the tension goes on for too long, they become more vulnerable to a wide range of conditions, including infections, high blood pressure, heart attack, depression, and aggression. And during an ongoing global emergencies, medical workers are one of the most, if not the most, exposed groups to stress and trauma. Ian, who has been consulting medical workers, said they found it much harder to neglect other people's needs than their own.
It's a kind of like burden that, oh my gosh, how can I ask you for help, or how can I taking care of myself when a lot of patients are still there, a lot of people need my help. So talking about this, it's a really sad story. There's a lot of stigmas, self-stigmas from healthcare workers. Like, I am the one who took care of people, and I cannot take care of myself. That sounds so hopeless. That sounds so weak. That's so strange. So that is the self-stigma, which is the biggest barrier from them to ask for help.
Not only medical workers, but psychologists like yourself are not immune to mental and psychological problems of the people they support. Since it is your job, which is a big part of your life that you spend a lot of time with, I guess this exposure is unavoidable. So how have you been living with this personally, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, okay, I'm just live with this. You ask me like how I can live with this. I can live with this. Okay, thank you for asking. It's a very interesting question.
I mean, I know you can, and obviously you have been, but I mean,
yes, how, right?
Right, like, what are the, do you treat yourself as a client? What are the strategies that you have for yourself?
Interesting. Okay, actually, I have to thank a lot, Sam. I have to thank you for asking me this, because it's given me a chance to re-explain it for the audience about this.
Ian told me people like her would have someone called a professional supervisor who they can come to and help them process a difficult case and their emotional handling of that case. She also relies on her friends and family for support.
And Sen, as you said, it is our job. And because this is our job, it's a job. So we have the boundary. We have the boundary between what is job and what is our personal life. And because this is our job, to treat ourselves as a client is an option. So my answer is yes and no. So a lot of my friends, they have a very good self-care. But there are still some counselors don't treat themselves as a client. They just like have a normal life. Just like a lot of doctors still smoking and drinking alcohol, because the life outside the hospital is another thing. But I have to admit that our advantages is that we can recognize our problem faster than others. But on the other side, just like healthcare workers, we have our own barrier, such as stigmas, bias of seeking for help, feeling a little bit weak or hard to share our problem because the labeling from the others. So we're human, and it's all of us is learning to grow.
Stigma is a difficult thing to talk about. In Vietnam, people with mental health problems are often targets of this. Having mental disorders is often labeled Dien or Tâm Thần in Vietnamese, which can be translated as crazy or insane. In some cases, people with mental health illnesses are thought to have sinned in the past lives, and their illnesses are their punishment, which reflects Vietnamese belief in karma. The pandemic has made mental and psychological problems become more obvious and perhaps slightly easier to talk about.
When we come back, I asked Lê Trần Hoàng Duy if
this can be an opportunity for us to be more empathetic towards one another. This is Vietnam in Boba. I'm San Nguyen.
I will agree with you that this pandemic is a chance to change. This is an opportunity for us to maybe, if I would say, to normalize the mental or psychological issues, psychological difficulties, problems, something like that. I would say we still have a long way to go until we reduced to the list. I mean, like, we can reduce the stigma to the sense that everyone feel comfortable talking about that. Everyone can have enough support when they speak out their problems, and they are not looked at. They are not blamed. They are not criticized when they have, or when they say that they have some mental illness, some mental problems.
In recent years, and especially during the COVID-19 outbreaks, there have been a lot of webinars, conferences, social media discussions, and media coverage of the realities of mental health problems in Vietnam, which has helped raise awareness. In one of the rare major public campaigns with the participation and support of the government, a mental health care program called Vaccine Tinh Thần, or Vaccines for the Mind, was launched in Ho Chi Minh City in September. While the impact of these initiatives are unclear, it is important to note that some mental problems seem to be more tolerable than others.
Yeah, so these days, if you have depression, if you have anxiety, if you have an extreme level of stress, yeah, maybe you find it easier to talk about. You find it normal to talk about these problems these days during the pandemic. But if you have some other disorders, maybe more severe disorders, or maybe personality disorders, it can be still very hard to talk about them these days, because people still see those disorders related to your personality, your characteristic, yourself as a person. People will not see it contextual, conditional, something like that. They can interpret yourself, like you and your problem, your severe problem. For example, schizophrenia or some other personality disorder, like borderline personality disorder.
Zui went on to give me an example of stigma that I admit I have witnessed many times growing up in Vietnam.
You have schizophrenia, which is a severe disorders characterized by delusion and hallucination. Like you think about something not real, and then you have some wrong sensation. For example, you see something not there, something like that. You hear something which is not there. So people would say he is Dien, but they don't understand it in the way that he has a mental problem. People may see it in the way that this is bad people. This is bad person. He's trying to make things up. He's trying to make a mess. He's trying to make people suffer, something like that. So it's more about a person, it's more about the characteristics, the personality, than the conditions.
His insights makes me think a lot about language. It shapes our perceptions and realities, and the language we use to describe mental health matters. Examples found in Vietnamese are striking.
So for example, in Western countries, at least nowadays, they call people with mental illness like this. So if you have anxiety, or if you have ADHD, depression, something like that, they will not call you depressive person. depressive individual, but they will call you individual with anxiety, individual with depression. So you are still you, but you have that condition. So it's a very, I would say, humane way to see mental problems. But in Vietnamese, I mean the language. So when you say người điên, it means insane person, insane people. And I have a feeling that we have a long way to go until we can reach that view, that human view of mental health illness in Vietnam.
We're going to zoom out and look at the bigger picture here a little bit. In one of our previous conversations, Chi-Ian, you mentioned that there is significant post-traumatic stress after the lockdown was lifted. Could you elaborate a little bit on this?
That's good question. So we are all familiar with the concept new normal, right? So the concept of new normal, actually, from my perspective, it's not only applies for social economic situations, but also to the mental health state of the community. We are in the collective trauma right now. There's a lot of ways we can describe what is trauma, like in a simple language, like a combined of negative impact of stress. Like you have too much stress in your life, so it can cause an injury. A response to a deeply distressing or disturbing event that overwhelms individual ability to cope. Or an experience that diminished your sense of self and ability to feel a full range of emotions, or a situation where your well-being or your life is in danger and results in a prolonged experience with high level of stress. So what do you see from this? Like everything, every kind of descriptions, seems to be drawn on exactly what is happening to us right now, the pandemic.
Instead, it would be impossible to expect to return to the mental state that has not experienced the public health crisis that has been drawn on for the last 2 years, using an example of a recovery from a physical injury.
It's just like I have an injury in my arm, like a small things like that, and it's bleeding. And after the bleeding, it's have to have a small scar on my skin. My skin will never can be the skin before as before. So the new normal, please understand that it's applied also for the mental health state. Like we will leave and move on, and of course we will cry and laugh later, but with a scar of life, a new normal mental health state. So
this episode was edited by me and produced by Zhang Fa. If you like it, please tell a friend about it and help them subscribe to our show. By the way, Vietnam and Boba is calling for patrons. Running an independent project of this length and depth is difficult, but we want to be independent from advertising and continue to publish stories about Vietnam's cultural and socioeconomic issues told by local people and long-term residents in the country. If you're interested in becoming a patron, please get in touch with us via Facebook and Twitter. You can also email us at vietnambobapodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Sen Nguyen, and this is Vietnam and Boba.